It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 133 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray. And we just had an excellent launch weekend for second edition, and we hope you did too.
Yeah, X-Wing is back with the official launch happening last week. We played several tournaments over the weekend here, got a lot of time in with all these new pilots and upgrade cards, so lots to talk about for today's show.
Yeah, and unlike the app, we'll be efficient about things, so let's get right to it. Along with the release this weekend of all of the second edition products, we also got the official Star Wars X-Wing Squad Builder app, which, while it didn't release well on that first day, did eventually come with some pretty useful information. So we'll talk about the launch of the app a little bit later in the episode, but the app gave us information on the formats for X-Wing now.
Yeah, and these formats are something we have speculated on for a long time, and actually I think our guesses were fairly accurate as to kind of the two main parts of the formats for X-Wing. But now we actually have specific details. They weren't, due to some, you know, errors on the app, they weren't fully clear right away, but now we know that the two main formats we're going to see in X-Wing are the extended format, which includes all the content from all the conversion kits, that includes pilots and upgrades, and then the other format is second edition, which includes just the content released up to the current wave in X-Wing 2nd Edition.
Right, and we had been speculating about this 2nd Edition format previously on some of our episodes because it seemed like such a great way to have new players not have a huge barrier of entry into the 2nd Edition. Now you can just get the products that are available, not needing to get the conversion kits, and you have all of the tools to play competitively in the 2nd Edition format.
And I'm still pretty excited by this format, too. Like, looking at the app and pulling open this format and just seeing it's a pretty narrow selection of ships for each faction. You know, there's only 3 Rebel ships, 3 Imperial ships, and 4 Scum ships. And that's a pretty narrow field. And then just, you know, a handful of upgrades that released with these expansions. So I think it's going to be an interesting launch point. All the events I played at this weekend were extended, so it wasn't going into this narrow field just yet. But I think it is cool to see the two main formats that were going into the game. Now, there are still some questions that remain, though, about these formats. We don't know exactly what competitive events are going to favor, like the official premier level stuff or even just the hyperspace trial level stuff.
Yeah, ideally, in my opinion, the hyperspace trials should be one of these formats, and then the system open series should be the other format. I personally think the broader extended format is great for really large-scale tournaments like the System Open Series, but the Path of the Hyperspace Trials I think would be better suited for this second edition format.
Yeah, I'm hoping they do kind of a split for the supported events across both of these. I think what is really cool is that they're obviously just based on having different selections of ships available, each of these formats is obviously going to have its own metagame, which is something that's new to X-Wing. In first edition, there was really only the one competitive format, 100-point dogfight, all the available contents available. And really, so if a ship became dominating in that format or a list became dominating, there really wasn't much of a break from that. I like to see the option here that even as things get balanced separately between extended and second edition, that we have that potential where if I get tired of one format or it starts to seem a little boring, I can shift over to the other one and experience something different.
Right. Well, I mean, and with two different metagames, it gives you much more of an intellectual pursuit to pursue two different metagames competitively. You're probably not going to have the same list do well in both formats. So you have to try and figure out two lists to fly, which I think is exciting. But we all know there'll be two scum lists, so don't worry there.
Now, obviously, these formats are very different right now just because of the very limited selection of second edition ships. Obviously, that will grow with time. Do you have, between these two right now, Carson, from what you've seen, mostly you've experienced extended games, do you have a preference for which one of these you tend to like more?
Oh, that's tough because extended has Hawks, Star Vipers, Aggressors, you know, all the good stuff. But in the second edition format, I still can fly Fangs. And I don't have to deal with as much of the nasty Imperial stuff. So there's a bit of a trade-off there.
Well, and I think that's that comparison immediately is interesting too, right? Because I've played with some Fangs in Extended now over the weekend, and they're pretty volatile, only being able to get pretty much one focus token at a time. They tend to blow up pretty easily. But over in second edition, they seem a lot better there, right? Where, you know, you've got fewer proton torpedo carriers at that point, and still some really great pilot options on the Fangs. So I'm wondering if like that'll be one of the first, you know, differences we'll see between these two formats.
Yeah, and now if you're a fan of Supernatural Vader, I believe he is in both of the formats, so don't worry there. But I think the constraint will be really interesting. I think that forces more creative decisions than having all of the options you could ever want and more. That's how I feel about Extended. You have too many options to even process. Maybe give it, after a year, we'll feel like it's not that bad. But right now, it's a bit overloading with just how many choices you have. But I do really like the constraint of the second edition format. I mean, if I'm picking Scum, my fighter ace option is just the Fang Fighter. And Scum has kind of more options in its choices than the other factions because it gets two ships with Lando's Millennium Falcon kit.
And we talk about the constraints feeling cool, though, but I'm guessing that won't last very long, right? Like, we're seeing, even before the end of the year, two more factions be introduced, which will be presumably available in the second edition format. And I don't think it'll take that long before the ship selection for second edition gets pretty expansive, right? I mean, I could see them, I mean, they're releasing, what, seven ships in this wave right here. We're going to get several more in the next wave. It seems like they're going to fire these out in a pretty quick rate. So I could see within the next year or two us getting second edition up to, you know, similar numbers to Extended.
It's definitely possible. I hope they don't go that way. I hope they keep it narrow, whether they use a rotation or at least, I mean, for the first, you know, year or half a year, depending on the pace of these releases, I think each faction here is only going to have about three ships, but we're going to end up with about seven factions at the end. So you'll have a choice of teams, but not each team will still have a pretty narrow amount of variety within that team.
We did also see a couple examples of variant formats being introduced. One of them is the format that's going to be used for the Deluxe Wave Tournament Kit. But we saw the three variants that are available right from the get-go, I guess officially supported, you could say, are the No Glory format, which is just basically everything's available from the conversion kits except for all the limited pilots, so no named pilots there. You've also got the Battle of Yavin, which is the format going to be used for the Deluxe Wave kits. And this is basically only ships and pilots that appeared at the Battle of Yavin at the end of A New Hope. And then the one, it looks like they kind of just threw together, which is called Playing Favorites, where they just picked a pilot for each ship, and that's all that's available for those ships.
I mean, yeah, right out of the bat, I really hate the Battle of Yavin format. Rebels and Imperials, who wants any part of that? I do think that is very fascinating to have an event like that where one of the factions is not playable.
Well, I think these events are more designed for like intro to the game, right? Especially this Battle of Yavin one, since it's pretty much all material that's available in the first wave. I'm excited, though, because you can do custom formats. I'm excited to see your Battle of Yavin but Guri's available format. I think that's going to be pretty exciting.
Yeah. I mean, for me right now, I'm going to focus on those main two formats at the beginning. I think there's enough to keep me busy there for quite a while.
Yeah, I'm definitely hoping to get more second edition only games in over the next week or so, just so I can get a better feel for what that's going to be like. All right, I feel like we have to talk about this, though I really don't want to, because I feel like everyone's just been complaining about it.
Yeah, I mean, the big talk of the weekend was that the launch of second edition was marred by not having a complete launch. The app, which is necessary to play the game, was not available right away and not functional for quite a while. By the end of the weekend, it seemed mainly fixed.
Well, I mean, fixed on the superficial level. And like, I don't want to dive too much into like all the little errors, like the, you know, showing italics tags and all that kind of stuff. But there were some pretty substantial issues. We didn't even see the iOS launch of the app until the next day. Like, I waited all night. I was up till midnight, not just for that, just because I, you know, stay awake late. But I was pretty disappointed when I was checking and didn't see it there at the end of the day, like, especially after they had promised it would be out by the end of the day. But aside from like the small issues and the late release, I think the app is pretty disappointing.
I mean, my stance on the app is it's been out, it's been patched up, and I am still using the free third-party apps that are available. for my list building.
Well, yeah, they're just so much better.
But, I mean, my first point of you can't play X-Wing without the app. Yes, point values are printed online. But, you know, when you don't have the points printed on cards, I think this is a necessary component. No new player is going to look online, print out a sheet, and reference it to build their list. And Fantasy Flight is very lucky that they have these dedicated players who want to make list building easy for everyone, and so they've made these third-party apps. Without that, I think this launch weekend would have been a complete disaster.
Well, and like seasoned players like us were looking at the point lists well before the app launched. But if you're a new player, like you really are going to depend on this app because this is going to be your official connection to any kind of squad builder. You know, you'd have to, you can search out pretty quick and find other ones on the internet. But if you're opening your material, your new Wave 1 content, and you see the link there, you go download the app. I don't know. I'd be pretty disappointed based on like the quality of the actual physical components of the game compared to the pretty low quality of this app.
Absolutely. They didn't have their formats right at the launch. There was a lot of illegal lists if you tried to use some shield or hole upgrades.
Yeah, that 0 point hole was the best value you could get, you know, from those formats at the time. There's also, I mean, I don't know, aside from like the generally low level of polish for this app and the gigantic icons and text, you have to do so much scrolling if you're trying to just quickly build a squad. Like, I don't like that you have to have an internet connection constantly to use it. I understand in general why they have to, otherwise the app would be gigantic if they actually had to download all the high-res images and whatnot. But it just doesn't seem right that I have to be connected to the internet all day, especially if I'm going to use this at like a longer event where I'm going to be playing X-Wing for, I don't know, 10, 12 hours. And I'm going to have to charge my phone at some point, or am I going to have to print out squad lists still?
Well, and at those big events, I mean, internet connection's not always that given.
Yeah, it would really stink if you went to an event, didn't have cell service, so you couldn't show off your list.
Right, and I mean, you do kind of want to check it because calculating half point values for everything does get a little tedious, even though it's great. It does make the end of game process take a little longer. So you do want to reference it, your app, for those quick and easy calculations.
Well, and I think like even just simple things like the lack of a way to export your list in a text format, that seems so simple. And pretty much every unofficial squad builder for X-Wing has that feature in there just because it's so basic. But the only option you have for this one is QR codes to link to your list and creating a PDF, which if I'm sharing a list real quick, I don't want to send all my friends a PDF.
Right. I mean, we send lists back and forth all the time. And I mean, currently I'm just using the third-party list apps to send them to you. Because as much as I love to spam your mailbox full of PDFs, that's a lot of time for me too. So if you want to send your PDF list to someone, please send them to feedback@backtodials.com.
Okay, so overall with the app, if you could change three things about it, what would you change?
Oh, I'd really change their back button function. I get pretty mad when I'm making a new squad, have three ships and some upgrades, and I want to change one of the ships, so I click back, and then I drop out of the whole list and have to start over from scratch. That's really fun. The first time I thought it was my fault, but after I've done it about 10 or so times, I think the app just, the design is just not that intuitive. I would change it so that some Imperial ships cost it a bit more.
Well, we'll get into that. But what would be your third thing?
I don't know. If I had a good working back button and TIE bombers were cheaper, I think I'd be in general pretty happy. Do you have anything you want changed?
Well, okay. I think having an offline mode would be really beneficial for the app so people don't have to be connected to the internet. Yeah, you don't get the images then. You can keep the app small. But I don't feel like it's that hard to just have the text in there, you know, and the essential images. That would be important to me. I think the user interface needs a huge overhaul because I think it's really unintuitive right now. There's so much scrolling you have to do to build a list. It's just not a simple process like it should be. And I know it can be better because there are unofficial apps that already do it better and have all these features.
Right, and those are usually made by just one person or two.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like they could have done a lot better. I just, like, it makes me sad that this isn't even on the level of other Fantasy Flight Games apps. I've used their app for Elder Sign. I've used their app for Mansions of Madness, which are pretty well designed, well polished, and, you know, add to my experience in the game. In those cases, pretty much arm my experience in the game. So I was expecting a lot from this app, but I'm not surprised they didn't release much information about it ahead of time because, you know, it's pretty lackluster.
All right, we got a little bit of time left before we go. So I think we should talk about some lists, what we flew, what we thought was fun, what we thought was doing really good that we played against. Tim, what were your thoughts on the weekend? App aside, how was the actual second edition content?
Well, let's specify second edition extended, not the second edition format, right?
Correct.
I had a good time. I got to play on launch day at a game store in Minnesota called the Battleground Cafe, which was a really awesome experience. I check out that store too. It's a great place. We had a fun time though. I was flying my Boba list there, the 101 point Boba, and it was pretty fun. I did learn though that TIE Defenders in extended are very good, especially when they're loaded out with Juke, and even on their own, just being able to get focus and evade, they were basically impossible to kill once I got to the late game. So that was probably my biggest lesson from that first day.
Yeah, the second green token a ship gets now is very valuable. It's a huge bump up in power. So TIE Defenders doing that, obviously very good.
Well, and that's a good point, too, because it kind of emphasizes what I learned when I was flying old Turok and the Fang, is I really liked Fangs. They're not nearly as good as I was hoping they would be, mostly by virtue of they can only get one focus token generally. And that is just not enough in this game right now, because even just a couple two-dice attacks against a Fang, if it's only got one focus token, you're probably going to take some damage. And those things don't have any shields, so if there's a crit in there, you're going to suffer.
Those Fangs really do feel like they're either missing auto thrusters or an extra focus. They're still pretty survivable at range 1 when they have their title to proc, but at range 2 to 3, they're pretty vulnerable. So what did you fly this weekend, Tim?
Well, the other list I flew was the, I call it Too Many Tubes, the Edrio 2 Tubes, Benthic 2 Tubes, along with a Gray Squadron Y-Wing and a Talos Squadron Z-95. So all at Initiative 2, getting that awesome synergy between Benthic in the U-Wing and Edrio in the X-Wing. So when Edrio's focused, when he activates, he gets an action in addition to his normal action he'll get after he maneuvers. And then over on Benthic in the U-Wing, I've got a Perceptive Co-Pilot upgrade, which is one of my favorites right now, just doubling up on those green focus tokens. And he can, when he gets a focus token, can pass a focus token to a friendly ship at range 1 to 2. So obviously they share names, so they're designed to be played together. But it's just a really fun synergy. Yeah, you're at a really low initiative, and I suffered from that several times. But when that list works and you're able to get that crazy action efficiency and fire out some proton torpedoes from Edrio and from the Gray Squadron, you can do a lot of damage on the front end and do some really funny tricks by coordinating focus actions from the Tala.
Yeah, and I thought you were a little overhyped on Perceptive Copilot. I thought 10 points for 2 focus tokens seemed like a bit of a steep price. But I think that value of that second focus token is worth more than it was in first edition. And I think that 10 points for Perceptive Copilot is about costed right, and an upgrade I think a lot of people should consider.
Now, you got to stack some green tokens too, though, right, with your IGs?
Yeah, I got a lot of green tokens and probably about the same amount of conversion power that you got. So I used a lot of Calculate tokens. I named my list after my trusty TI-84 Silver Edition Plus, because I just used a bunch of calculations. So I had IG-88A at the core of it, where, you know, you have your advanced droid brain giving you a second calculate token when you perform the calculate action. And then your pilot ability that lets you pass a calculate token to another friendly ship at range 1 to 3. And what's cool is if you have IG-88D crew on another ship, then both of those ships can pass calculate tokens. So I had, of course, a Hawk piloted by my dear friend Paul Gadali, who was a great support battery, throwing calculate tokens to IG-88A or Guri, who also can receive calculate tokens. And it was a lot of fun. It kind of felt like a Tawny Mind Link. And I would say this seems like the best way to balance a Tawny Mind Link, of it being just calculate tokens, because they are significantly less impactful than focus token. There's definitely the times where you just roll one eyeball and it seems great. It's a steal to just spend one calculate token to convert that. But there's a lot of rolls where you roll 2 or 3 focus results and spending all of your calculate tokens or only having one calculate token and not being able to convert feels pretty bad. But overall, it's a super fun list where you can just be super reactive to what your opponent does using advanced sensors on Guri and IG-88A to set up sweet maneuvers. And then you get a whole slew of start of combat triggers, which is very fun.
Yeah, hearing about your experience with the IGs, I actually do want to try out a dual aggressor list. That does look pretty fun, having that advanced sensors synergy in there too. Now, I do want to get your official declaration now that you've got some real games under your belt. Are Hawks good in second edition? Like, what are you saying right now?
Well, they're cheap, so their threshold that they have to jump over is not that high. Their survivability, not great. I may need to find a way to get a cloaking device into this list, but right now I'm not sure what to cut for it. But I would say that the Hawk is very much non-essential in this list, because if the Hawk is targeted first, well, I still have the focus engine of IG-88A preserved and the great Ace and Guri preserved as well. So I'd say they're decent, but I was pleasantly surprised by the effectiveness of the aggressor. A single aggressor was quite effective, in my opinion.
Now, I had some trouble with TIE Defenders. Were there any ships you faced off against that surprised you in their effectiveness, or...
Well, I will admit that I was defeated by a list containing a Punisher. That did happen this weekend.
Oh, for shame.
Well, yeah, maybe in first edition that would have been shameful, but we're in a different world now. These things may be happening to everyone. Maybe it's just me. Who knows? I did face a lot of bombers, and they were very good, although I'm proud to say I did not lose to any of the bombers. Polyp is very great against those barrage rockets where you can take their focus that they need to fire it. But the proton torpedoes, that's a little tougher. But advanced sensors boosting and then K-turning behind the bombers, that works okay.
Yeah, I hadn't really, until the app came out, I hadn't really thought too hard about TIE bombers. But man, those baseline TIE bombers at Initiative 2 are only 28 points. That's crazy inexpensive for what you're getting.
Right, and compare that to your lowest level Y-Wing, who has a comparable upgrade bar and survivability that comes in at 32 points. So 4 points more than the TIE bomber, and you're not really losing anything for that discount on the TIE bomber.
Yeah, that's something I'm definitely going to watch out for. That seems pretty brutal. I mean, proton torpedoes are already really good, even in the extended format. Just laying down that much damage that quickly is really potent right now. And it being able to fit, I don't know, you can fit, what, 4 TIE bombers with a support ship in a list right now? That seems pretty good.
Well, and it's a hell of a support ship in Colonel Jendin, giving out free target locks at the first turn to all of the TIE bombers, regardless of range. That's pretty terrifying. And very difficult to approach.
Makes me wonder if that's one of the first areas we'll see some point recosting.
Yeah, or at least, you know, from the time on, everyone play at least pilot skill 3 or higher with some repositioning. That certainly helps. And watch out for those Punishers. They'll get you.
Yeah, I think so. You know, overall, in spite of the, you know, lackluster launch of the app, I had a pretty good first week of X-Wing here. A lot of fun games to be had. I'm actually, you know, just as excited as I was before for this game.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I had a blast playing X-Wing this weekend. I got to fly a bunch of my all-time favorite ships I haven't flown in a long time, like the Aggressor and the Star Viper. And they all did very well, and it was super fun. I've waited a long time for a Star Viper to really feel like an ace, and I think in second edition Guri, we finally got it.
Yeah, I honestly think there's a lot of really cool stuff to look forward to, and we've got a lot more X-Wing content coming out even in the next several months, so I think it's a good time to be an X-Wing player. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please go on to facebook.com/RadioTCX and like our Facebook page.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really enjoy the podcast, please go on to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review along with a comment saying what you like about the show and why others would be interested in listening. And if you left your review on there a little while ago, it's not a bad idea to go on there and update it and let people know you're still listening.
And if you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/radioTCX and becoming a supporter of the show today. It really means so much to us. And thank you to everyone who has already gone ahead and become a supporter on Patreon. Thank you.
Again, guys, thank you so much for supporting the show, and we will talk to you next week.